Thank you for tuning in to Rock Talk with Jackie Neal. I talk to artists of all kinds, singers, songwriters, musicians, comedians, filmmakers, about their craft, mindsets, philosophies, and we also have some fun. On this episode, I got to talk to Richie Faulkner. He became the guitarist for Judas Priest in 2011. They are going gangbusters, celebrating 50 years of heavy metal, just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Here he is. Thank you so much for taking the time, and you want to just dig right in?
Absolutely, yes, pleasure.
So, 6 Texas dates in November that we Texans are so stoked about. 2 in San Antonio, Dallas, Houston, Edinburgh, and then November 26th here in Corpus Christi. How's it going so far?
It's going really well. It's like the old legendary stories we hear about back in the 80s when Priest used to do 6 weeks in Texas, you know. You know, and it's like a return to that. It's like, yes, we've returned. You know, we're going to do like all these beautiful shows in Texas. We usually do, you know, maybe 3, but doing 6 on a leg like this is brilliant for us. You know, we love Texas. We haven't done Corpus Christi since, I think, 2011. So it's great to be coming back down to that part of the world again. And yeah, we're having a blast. We're firing on all cylinders. So we're just happy to be back out on the road again.
We're so stoked. And, you know, I think you can relate that post-COVID, fans are just so hungry for awesome live music.
Without a doubt. I mean, ever since, you know, shows started up again, there was just a different, I guess it was an appreciation. I mean, from our point of view as well, from the bands, I mean, you know, the fans weren't able to go and see live shows, and the bands weren't able to play live shows. And it's part of all of our lives to go and see shows, to play shows. And I think both from the stage and from the fans' point of views, it was just like a celebration to be able to go and take part in this again. And that's still being experienced, you know, the fans, you can see on the fans' faces and the way that they're experiencing it, both here and in Europe. It's just, again, as I said, it's a celebration of live music again, and maybe we took it for granted a bit before. I don't know. Maybe we, you know, and we had to realize that maybe, but everyone's so excited to be back. And from our point of view as well, just to be back playing and seeing the fans, and, you know, we meet the fans sometimes, you know, when we come out of the venues and stuff, we see some of the fans there, and everyone's just thrilled to be back, you know, so it's a great feeling.
Nobody's taking it for granted now.
No, definitely not, no.
Is this your first tour with Queensryche?
We toured with Queensryche earlier on this year. We did the first leg of the US run in the spring. It went so well, we asked them to come back and do the second leg with us again, and I think they were excited to do so. So I think the band played with Queensryche back in the day. Mm-hmm. You know, with the original lineups, but as far as this tour, no, it's the second leg, and they're going down really well. They're a great bunch of guys. They've got a great crew, great, you know, and it's one of those bands like Priest. They're kind of like a legacy act, you know, legacy yeah. songs, classic songs, and the fans seem to love it. So, and there's a lot of younger generation at these shows as well. That are maybe seeing Queensryche and Priest for the first time. So hopefully with this package, we're introducing fans to a new generation of music and a new generation of metal fans. So that's hopefully the case.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that's why we're so stoked about these two bands together, because you're two powerhouses, but kind of different.
That's very true. Same sort of heavy metal roots and heavy rock roots. But, you know, like everything back then, everything had their own identity. And I think that's important with any music, really. All those heavy metal bands and heavy rock bands, you could put it on and you knew exactly who it was, you know, what singer it was. The guitar players were different, you know, the songs mm-hmm. had their own identity. And it's an important thing. So
Nothing cookie cutter.
No, exactly.
You know, I was reading about, and I'm sure a lot of people have asked you about, the episode in 2011 in Kentucky, the near fatal, where you proved what a badass rock star you were when you kept playing, when you had was it aortal aneurysm?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I mean, I can't take credit for proving I was a badass. I didn't really have a choice. You know, it was something that happened, and circumstances kind of unfolded. And to be honest with you, I should have, if I had known what it was, I would have come off the stage.
Maybe put the guitar down.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was. Yeah. And it's something that happened, and I didn't know what it was, so I carried on. Luckily, it was the last song of the set, and we had to come off anyway after that song. If it was a longer set, which it usually is, I think I would have carried on, and I might not have made it home that night, you know. Yeah. But you know, it's just the way things unfolded that night. It was a sequence of events that I was very fortunate. It was when things align in your favor. Obviously, it was a bad thing that happened, but it happened in a way that was in my favor if they were to go that way.
Right.
If you know what I'm saying.
I do know.
I was 3 miles away from one of the best hospitals in the country. As I said, we had a short set that night. All those things. If it was going to happen,
yeah,
it happened in the best way possible, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And, y'all could have been in BFE somewhere with nothing around, and you could have been playing your normal two-hour show.
That's right. So I had a great team of surgeons and doctors and nurses around me. My family's been amazing since then. The fans have been incredibly supportive. And the band, obviously. So it's one of those things, you know, life happens, and I'm fortunate enough to be carrying on touring, and you know, I'm on obviously medication, and people come off a lot worse and have bigger challenges than I do. So I count myself lucky and very fortunate, you know.
Right on, man. Now, did I read correctly that you speak fluent Swedish?
I do. I do it less and less these days. So you know, the less you do something.
I'm not going to put you
maybe
on the spot.
Don't do that. But I used to live in Sweden, and then when I came back to the UK, I had a Swedish girlfriend, and we used to speak Swedish all the time. So I was fluent because I was speaking it all the time. Now, not so much these days, so maybe not so fluent anymore.
I had a Swedish friend in college, and I was talking to the actress Gina Davis, who she's also fluent in Swedish. And I said, well,
right.
There's only one cuss word I know, and as it turns out, it's javla huit, and I thought it was eat shit. But she said, no, it's actually like damn hell or damn shit. So it doesn't even make any sense, you know?
Well, it doesn't make any sense if you translate it directly, but it does make sense when you say it. You
okay.
Know? So, it sounded pretty good. Well done.
Oh. Now, did you sell sausages in Sweden when you were a young man, young like coming out of your teens?
Yes, I did. It sounds rude, but it's like we do anything we can to make a bit of money.
Yeah,
but,
and we're talking food. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but yeah, it was what I used to do is, you know, a hot dog seller.
Yeah,
and I worked for a company, and we used to go around festivals and music fairs and whatever it used to be, get out the grill and, you know, light up the grill and sell grilled and boiled hot dogs. And, you know, as I said, you do whatever you do. I think I moved over there when I was 16, 17, and you do whatever you do.
Yeah,
I was young and in love, and I would go away at the weekend, sell hot dogs, and then come back during the weeks and stuff. And I had a band out there as well, and you just do whatever you do to
make it,
be able to do what you love doing
right
on the downtime, you know.
Right.
And it was great. As I said, we used to travel around a lot, and we used to see bands that were playing and meet a lot of people during the festivals and stuff. It was great fun.
Now, did the Swedish metal scene or the more, you know, Nordic metal scene, did that get you into music, or what got you into music?
Well, not really. I was already into music at the time. My father really got me into music originally. He was a big Jimi Hendrix fan, and he used to be into Thin Lizzy and Black Sabbath and, bands like that. And he kind of got me my first guitar.
Okay.
Got me into all that sort of stuff. And he had friends in bands that used to play. You know, so that kind of got me sparked off. And I remember seeing Jimi Hendrix on VHS tape. And, I mean, you know, I don't know who cannot be influenced by such a visual, an oral phenomenon that was Hendrix. You know, even if you don't like it, it's such a explosive assault on the senses, you know. And I think I was maybe 7 or 8 at the time when I was introduced to that, and it was just like, what is this? You know, and you know, how can I make my life about that?
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people, you know, I'm not a one-off here. I mean, Hendrix is a massive influence to generations of people, but that's where it all started.
And I know you've been in music for a long time, and you've had your own bands, but what is it like being on stage performing with Judas Priest from your perspective?
It's massive, you know. That's a really tough question to answer. It evolves over the years, and the more time goes by, I remember when it first started, the main focus was about the guitar parts, and the, you know, that was kind of what it was about, and you know, the performance and stuff like that. It kind of evolves more into, the more you become part of the band, it becomes, you know, what can we do? How can we do things differently? How can we write a better album? How can we give a better experience mm-hmm. for the fans? How can we do this differently? You know, how can we make things bigger, better, you know, less about your performance, but the performance of the machine,
the whole
that is Judas Priest. And, you know, people are buying tickets, they're working, they're spending their money, they're choosing you as a night out. So how can we, you know, it turns yeah. into that. You become part of a team rather than just focusing on, am I playing the right notes tonight?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean?
Oh, no, I get it.
You know, more of an all-encompassing thing. And obviously, you know, you're concentrating on playing the right notes every night still, but it just becomes more of a bigger thing.
And kind of the sum of the parts creating the whole.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, as we go on to, I mean, they're more than 50 years now. It's the 50th anniversary tour. I've been in the band over 10 years now. We're working on the third album that I've done with them. So as you go into the third record, it's more of that. So
yeah.
How do we make this one different, better, quote mm-hmm. unquote, you know, better is a subjective term, but it's got to be better from, you know, our point of view. And how do we give something that sounds better, a better or a different journey through the songs, or, you know, whatever it may be, better performances, whatever it is, a concentration on how to make things better for the people that put them there for those 50 years, and you become part of that. So it's an honor to be part of that, really.
Oh my God, yes. When you joined the band, I'm sure you were a fan and had known of them for a long time, but what surprised you most about the band as a whole and its members when you joined?
I think one of the things was that they, when I first went down to be considered for the position, they told me what they wanted from a band member and what they didn't want. And they also asked me what I wanted and what I didn't want, you know, which I thought was a really mm-hmm. surprising thing to hear. But as I've gone through, you know, my career with them, it was obvious that they wanted a band member.
Yeah.
They wanted someone that was pulling 1,000% with them. So looking back on that, it was they didn't want someone that was just paid a wage playing live. They wanted someone that was pulling with them,
yeah,
as part of the band. You know, they wanted someone in the family, and I thought it was surprising at the time.
That.
But nothing like I do now. It was quite an insightful thing to learn about them mm-hmm. and the way they do things, and maybe that's something I can apply going forward when I do something. Have someone as part of my organization. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was quite a good lesson to learn.
But I want to ask you about the album that, did you produce it for the late actor Christopher Lee? He got into metal late in his life. Did I read that correctly?
I didn't produce it. I arranged. He was a great guy and his team were fantastic. And they had a batch of ideas for songs that were kind of mapped out for orchestral instruments.
Okay.
If I said that correctly.
Yeah.
So violins and cellos. They weren't, but they wanted a heavy metal album. So mm-hmm. they had some ideas for these songs and they handed them over to me and they said, can you arrange these for a heavy metal band? So they didn't have parts for guitars mm-hmm. or bass or drums. So I basically arranged the songs and came up with the songs so they could be played by a heavy metal band.
Okay.
I didn't actually play on it. A band called Judas Priest called me up right at the end of the process. And I had to, you know, respectfully say to the guys, here are the songs.
Yeah.
But I've got a jump ship and I think there's this up-and-coming new band. I think they're going to go far.
Yeah.
I've got to do this. But they were great. And I think they went on to record those songs as I'd written them.
Okay.
And they sounded great. But Sir Christopher was great. It was obviously obviously before he passed, but right. I've got to meet him and discuss a few things with him. And he was from a different generation, obviously, so he had a different viewpoint on...
Kind of old school, maybe?
Oh, yeah, absolutely old school.
I mean, this is the vampire from the 70s.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes, you know, modern problems sometimes require old school thinking.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, It was great, and both ways as well. He would listen to me, you know. Maybe I had a different take on it, and he would listen. I only met him once. He was a lovely guy, and great to meet him. And again, very honored to meet him and his team.
Right on, man. Now we're going to talk about the tour one last time, but one more question for you: what is one thing that your fans don't know about you, but that you want them to know, Richie?
It's a great question. They don't know about me that I want them to know about me. Do you know what? I don't know. I think they probably know everything that
okay.
I want them to know. They probably know too much, to be honest.
That's your answer? Then that's the answer. There's not a right or wrong on it. It's just a question.
Do you know what? They know more sometimes, especially in places like we go to Japan and places like that, and the fans are so attentive, and they ask me questions about things that I mean, I have no idea how they know certain things. They know things
kind
that
of spooky.
I have no idea.
Yeah, gotcha.
Like, how did you know that? honestly, they probably know stuff about me that I don't even know that they know.
Okay.
So, I take that as a compliment.
Yeah, absolutely. And your transparency. The tour is going strong, and we are so stoked. Now, of course, two dates in San Antonio, then Dallas, Houston, Edinburgh, and then Corpus Christi the Saturday after Thanksgiving. We're going to waddle out in our stretchy pants and rock our little butts off. It's going to be awesome.
I think the accolade, all accolades, is doing what they're doing right now after 50 years.
Yes.
And that's the biggest accolade anyone can ever have. And I'll leave it at that.
Yes, but, right on. And then y'all are going to boogie on down here. 50 years of heavy metal here in Corpus Christi, November 26th. Richie, thank you so much for your time. You've been amazing.
It's been a pleasure. Looking forward to seeing you all down there.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Rock Talk with Jackie Neal. I would love it if you would like, subscribe, share, and leave us a review.